Greetings and salutations, and welcome to episode number 180 of Ref the District. I am, of course, the stoner. That's me right there. Appreciate everybody who is popping in right now. I'm looking left. I'm looking right. It's just me. You got just me tonight. Trev, Nathan, off doing other things, so you're going to have to deal with all my opinions with nobody to check me on it, although you all can check me on the things that I may be going off the wall with, some of the things I may be saying. But it's going to be a great show. We've got a lot of cool stuff to get to in the show tonight. Again, it's episode number 180. That means we have been going for 180 consecutive weeks. So that's pretty awesome. That all started on January 31st of 2021. And here we are in July of 2024, still going strong. Ref the District always in the house, giving you the content that you all need and that you all deserve. Appreciate everybody who is already here. Lockdown Law has been in from before we even started. Rogers here, aka Anunnaki. I never even got that. We know it's Roger, so we say, what's up, Roger? Trevor's here. Doug, Brian is in the house. JG, and of course, Phil. Check out Phil and over in Philly land coming in to check us out. Check him out every morning on his channel, Phil Stifle, with his Go Birds in there. Easy killer. You're going to get attacked here if you don't watch out with all these Commanders fans in here. And also, P-Dub is in the house. We appreciate everybody who's in here. Look, we're going to try to do something pretty cool tonight. Since Nathan and Trev are not here, let's do this. Let's make this the most liked video from our flagship Wednesday show of all time. So make sure you all hit that like if you are watching live, or if you are watching later. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Again, we really appreciate everybody who is in here. Now, if you're listening on audio later on your favorite audio platform, Apple Podcasts, Google, I don't even think Google does it anymore, but wherever you find us, make sure you leave a rating and review, because that will help us get noticed by so many other people as well. Again, appreciate everybody who is in here so far. Look, we got a great show. Like I said, in the final segment, the cool down later on, we're going to have our mailbag segment. That's where you all get to ask questions, not just to me. Of course, I'm going to answer it, but everybody else who's here can answer it as well. So that's the mailbag. Now, because I am flying solo, it is going to be difficult for me to track what you guys have for topics now. So if you have a topic, save it for later. Because in the game, we have a special guest. Most of you all probably already know him. And it's Rico Street Scores, who is going to be joining us here on the channel. Rico's going to be joining me to talk all things Commanders. We're going to be talking about who the potential breakout stars are when you look at the rookies. Again, Jaden Daniels, we all know, has the biggest potential to be a breakout star. But we're going to be looking at some of the rookies, some of the second-year guys, third-year guys. And what about the possibility? Hear me out. What about the possibility that Jamin Davis has a breakout season finally in his fourth year with the right coaching, putting it in the right position? We'll talk all about that with Rico Street Scores here in the game later on. But here in the warm-up, we're going to talk a whole bunch of different topics, but the biggest topic is going to be whether or not you all want to see the draft here in Washington, D.C., with the possibility of that happen. There's a committee that's already organized to try to bring the draft here to DC in 2027. So we're going to talk all about that here in the warm-up. But I got to get through a couple of housekeeping things. Look, you all know that our biggest sponsor right now is BetOnline, and BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 game slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit of up to $250. That means if you put in $250, they're going to give you $125 absolutely free using that code BLEAV. So do that. Bet online. The game starts here. Again, appreciate everybody else who is also in here. PNW Trout Slayer's in here. Uptown Dre, of course, is in here, and all those that I already mentioned. Allison is here also. I think I mentioned Trevor, and of course, P-Dub came in here. Patrick came in right after we got started. So let's talk a little bit about the possibility of the draft coming here to DC. Surely this can't be a bad thing, right? To bring the draft to Washington, DC. There's a committee that's organizing to try and get the draft here into Washington, DC. So you got to ask yourself the questions. Where are you going to do it? If you are in the DC area, do you want the draft to be here? Do you want all the people? Do you want everything that comes with the draft? Do you think Washington deserves it? Right? I mean, they've only started kind of moving the draft around lately and making it this big fan interaction here in the last, let's say 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, it's been in Cleveland. It's been in Vegas. It was in Nashville. Nashville's really, I think, where it took off, right? Nashville, they had so many people downtown for the draft that a couple of years ago. And then this past year in Detroit. Detroit, it's April, so it's bound to be cold, but it was packed, almost a million people over the 3 days of the draft. A massive success. So if you do want it to be here in DC, where would it be? Of course, there's a lot of those questions. O'Brien's already saying that he does not want the draft here in DC. Explain why, Brian. Want to know why you would not want the draft here in DC? Uptown is all about it. Hell yeah, come on to DC draft. And Locked On is saying the only thing I don't want in DC is Hard Knocks. We're going to talk about that, Locked On. We're going to talk about Hard Knocks and the possibility for Washington and whether or not you do or do not want Hard Knocks. But in the draft here, when we're talking about having all these people, I think it would be, my opinion, I think it would be awesome. You hold it down there, kind of where this picture is showing here over on the side, right? You hold it right there on the mall, right on the Capitol steps would be your backdrop, just like when you have an inauguration. And if you can't get that close, which maybe you can't, you build a stage kind of right in front of the Capitol at the end of the mall where the Caps had their celebration when they won, where the Nats had their celebration after they won the championship. Huge stage. You got all these people that can come in and you just have this overall experience. And I think it would be amazing to finally have something positive here in Washington, D.C., in terms of the NFL. We've just had so much negative press and negative outlook on the Commanders and everything that's going on behind the scenes, but that's all gone. So let's put this positive light on Washington and bring all that comes with the draft down to Washington, D.C., And as Allison's saying there, could the draft be on the mall? Absolutely. That's the perfect spot for it, just like you see in this picture. You build a stage right in front of the Capitol. I mean, I think it would be amazing. The downtown Washington, D.C. obviously can handle the number of people. They do it all the time. Washington, D.C. is one of the top tourist destinations in the entire world. So they can handle the people. That wouldn't be a problem. And just putting Washington, D.C. and the Commanders in a positive light, I think it would be great. Brian wanted to clarify. He's saying that it can't be a bad thing. And he responded saying, no, it can't be a bad thing. So he would love it here. So that'd be awesome. P-Dub is also talking about the draft would be great in D.C. Willis here says would be great to get the draft here. franchise talk here. It would be great to have the draft. Yeah, I don't think there's any negatives to having the draft in Washington, D.C. Again, you put everything in such a positive light, and we've seen the success that different teams or different cities have had in the last couple of years. I mean, Detroit just had an amazing year last year in terms of putting together a season where they made it all the way to the divisional round of the playoffs. And they had, well, they made it to the NFC Championship, didn't they? Right. So they were right there on the cusp of going to their first ever Super Bowl. Their hopes are high. They've got their quarterback. They've got all these weapons. The defense is up and coming. They've got the coach. And then you have the draft there. And now everybody's talking about Detroit, talking about the Lions being sort of a model organization, which you couldn't say for 30, 40, 50 years, but now you are. And that draft helps build the image of the city and, of course, of the football team, because it's all about Detroit. So I think it would be great. You know, franchise talk here is talking about issue with security. I mean, it's the most secure city maybe in the world. I'm not saying it's always successful in being secure, but I don't think there would be any issues with security. You have the most powerful people in the world wandering around that city every single day. So I don't think security would be an issue. And Doug's asking what other sites could possibly work in DC. I know DC very well, understand the ins and outs of the city, but if you're talking about just in DC, I'm not sure that there is a better place. You can go to the opposite end of the mall, right? You have the Capitol on one end, and on the opposite end of the mall is the Lincoln Memorial, right? So you could have the stage right in front of the Lincoln Memorial. You've got the water over there on the side, and then you've got the entire mall again going in the opposite direction. So that might be a place that you could do it. I'm trying to think if there would be really any other place that's available. We all know there's not a lot of open grass in Washington, D.C. That's why they're having trouble figuring out where to put a stadium if they want to keep it in D.C., having to go back out to where RFK is, which is not a huge site. Maybe you do it at RFK with that dilapidated building in the background, RFK crumbling to the ground, and have the draft there. But I think that's probably the best place to have it is right there on the mall. Again, I'm trying to think of different places that they could possibly have it. I don't see any other place that they would do it. So, but again, that would be perfect because you do have that place for all of the fans to be able to crowd in there and be able to still see a stage that's up a little bit high if you're on the Capitol or in the Lincoln Memorial on the other end. So yeah, I think it would be great to bring the draft to DC in 2027. There are people behind the scenes working on it. This organization is working on it. They're working on things like that, bringing that. And then maybe when you get a stadium deal done, then maybe you can start talking about bringing a Super Bowl to Washington. Of course, depending on the stadium, if it's going to be a dome stadium, then you have a much better chance of bringing the Super Bowl here to Washington, because it's hard to get a Super Bowl in January/February in Washington, D.C., where it's that cold. If you do have a Super Bowl in a northern city, then it's going to be in a dome stadium. So that could possibly be certain places certain happenings if you do get a new stadium here. Franchise talk, talking about maybe even Audi Field, or somebody mentioned in Nats Park, right? I guess you could do it in the stadium. It's not as accessible in terms of being spread out. You know, I'm very familiar with Audi Field and Nats Park, which they're basically right across the street from each other. There's not a lot of area to spread out a draft and to have a whole lot of fans other than them sitting in the stands. And I don't think they really want people sitting in the stands anymore. They want them to be able to go and stand and in and out rather than just kind of sitting around watching the draft. But you know, that's a good suggestion. to possibly put the NFL draft there. Again, don't forget, make sure you hit that like button. We're trying to break the record for the most likes for a flagship program. We got to get everybody to hit that like button. Again, don't forget, 8 o'clock, Rico from Street Scores will be here. If you haven't heard yet, he will be here to talk to us all about who the possible breakout stars are going to be. And then save your questions for the end, the cool down, when we're going to do mailbag and you're going to ask a whole bunch of questions about that. Now, Willis was talking about go get the stadium deal done. That is a big thing that Washington needs to focus on. Obviously, I know they are. They're focusing on where to do it. If you remember back when the previous owner was here, we don't say his name or else we have to put a dollar in the jar. But when he was here, all the politicians were running away from a stadium deal. Maryland said no. DC said no. Virginia said no. Now that the new ownership group is here, led by Josh Harris, everybody wants the stadium. So now they have to figure out what's the best deal for the organization. What's the best possible place? They're going to go wherever they get the best tax deal. I still think that it should be down there by where the casino is, where MGM Casino and National Harbor. I think it should be across the interstate there at National Harbor. You've got a lot of infrastructure already there with the casino, with all the bars and restaurants on, you know, down the road from the casino, convention center. There's a lot of space there. You're basically right in the corner of Washington, D.C., Virginia, and Maryland. You're right on the Potomac River right there. You could have the backdrop of the Washington Monument off in the distance. I think that'd be a great spot. However, we haven't heard anything lately on what's going on with the stadium deal. So I wouldn't get too excited about hearing anything. You might hear something maybe this summer when, you know, during training camp. You might start hearing a little bit about the stadium here coming up pretty soon. All right, so a couple other things to talk about here. We got the draft in D.C. It is July 3rd, of course. July 4th is tomorrow. I was thinking about this the other day, because if you've ever been to D.C. for July 4th, first of all, it's always 1,000 degrees. I think we've been one time. It was pretty awesome. The fireworks display in Washington, D.C. is second to none. They spare no expense when they do that. But I was thinking when I was a kid and we did July 4th and we used to go up to my grandmother's cabin. Not cabin, I guess it was a lake house. And we would go into town and we would go watch the fireworks. And I remember specifically how the fireworks were. It was like this. It was like, boom, you'd hear the thud of it taking off. And everybody would go, ooh. And then it would explode and everyone would go, ah. And then you had to wait like a minute and then, boom. That's how the fireworks were back then. And now, anytime you go to any fireworks, it's just constant. It's just going, and you're never even sure when is the grand finale until it just goes berserk. But if you had a chance to go to July 4th, Independence Day in Washington, D.C., I would highly recommend it. There's a gazillion people. It's probably going to be hot. But if you're in the area, I would definitely recommend doing that. Lockdown Law brought up Hard Knocks the other day. And then the first offseason Hard Knocks came out yesterday. It's the New York Giants. And he said, Lockdown said, he doesn't want to be on Hard Knocks. And I don't get it. Why would you not want the Washington Commanders on Hard Knocks? The sort of inside information that you get that we don't get otherwise is amazing. And we've talked about, like, if you watch Commanders Log, which the Washington Commanders put out every so often, they put out the Commanders Log, and it's inside information on what's going on with the Washington Commanders and behind the scenes stuff. And it's amazing the sort of inside info, I keep saying that same word, but the inside info that you get that you wouldn't normally get. And one of the things that we saw on this New York Giants Hard Knocks episode from last night on HBO Max was the conversation about Saquon Barkley and a little bit of Daniel Jones and the offensive line. And it was between the owner and it was between Joe Schoen. I think that's how you say his name. Joe Schoen, who is the general manager, and talking about whether or not they're going to re-sign Saquon Barkley for $20 million a year. And basically the GM was like, we can't afford a $40 million quarterback handing it off to a $20 million running back and zero resources on that offensive line. And so they ended up not signing him. But it was just sort of cool to see that conversation taking place, that the GM was saying, we need to invest in our offensive line, not $20 million in a running back. We can go into the secondary running back market and look at who they have available or who is available that we can sign. And he's not Saquon Barkley, and not a lot of people are, but we just can't invest that kind of money when you got $40 million wrapped into a quarterback. And that's sort of why you don't, first of all, you don't spend the number two or three overall pick on a running back. But that's why it's so important for Washington and all the other teams is to hit on that rookie quarterback so you can have those 2 or 3 years where he's on a rookie deal and you're not giving him $40 million a year like they had to do with Daniel Jones. And so Washington needs to do that here if Jaden Daniels is the guy, and we all think he's going to be the guy. They got to hit on that quarterback, and then they've got to hit on everything else. They've got to invest into that offensive line. They need to invest in weapons, and they do have, Washington does have some good weapons, but you need more weapons. And you have to take advantage before Jaden Daniels is going to start making $50 million a year when he's the guy, when he is that, when he's Jalen Hurts, right? You're going to start seeing teams like the Eagles start to go down a little bit, even though they did sign Saquon Barkley, but they start losing guys, a lot of their defensive line losing guys because they had to pay Jalen Hurts. And the going rate for quarterbacks is $30, $40, $50 million a year. So it was just kind of cool to see the insight there in Hard Knocks. And I would love for the Commanders at some point to be on Hard Knocks to get that in, that inside information that we all love watching so much. So I want to bring up that Hard Knocks. Another thing to check out with Washington is, I don't know if you all saw it, the photo from, let's see, let me get to that photo. I got it right here. It's the photo from Marcus Mariota's Instagram where they got a bunch of guys out there to Oregon to train, right? And so you see a bunch of guys in here, and look, I'm bad with faces. And when I look at all the faces, I'm not sure who everybody is, but I can start to guess if you all have seen that photo. Of course, Mariota and Jaden Daniels are there. You see Brian Robinson, but I'm bad with faces. One time when we were at the draft night party, the team invited a bunch of content creators, and we went to the draft night party, and they were bringing in players. Jonathan Allen, London Fletcher, Fred Smoot, Logan Thomas, old players, new players. And they said, okay, Kendall Fuller's coming in. Cool. Love to talk to Kendall Fuller. So I'm the guy going over and wrangling the players to come over and talk to Ref the District live on our draft night party. If you haven't seen it, check it out. We had some great conversations. But I go over and, you know, Kendall Fuller's got him and a couple of his posse, his folks, his crew, whatever it is. And I wasn't sure which one was Kendall Fuller. So I went up to one of the guys and I said, hey, Mr. Fuller, I'd love for you to come on over for a few minutes and talk to Ref the District. And he was like, I'm not Kendall Fuller. That's Kendall. I'm so-and-so, like his on his management team or whatever. And I was so embarrassed that I got the wrong guy. So in this picture, I'm not sure who everybody is because I'm not good at remembering faces. There are some guys who are just obviously there all the time, and so you know who they are. So I see B-Rob and Mariota, Jaden Daniels, and Austin Eckler, who is tiny, of course. He should not have been standing in front of the tight ends over there. He should have been in front of the other running backs. But He's tiny, but he's jacked. So I recognize Austin Eckler. I recognize Cole Turner, I believe. Maybe that's Ben Sinnott. I'm just guessing. I'm not sure who all. I think Diami might be in there. So if you guys have seen that photo, it's a good thing that, again, guys get together in the offseason and they work. They work together. Teammates work together. And you can make of it what you will. But if you look at it last year, I mean, Sam Howell did the same thing, right? You had Sam Howell and you had Jacoby Brissett and you had B-Rob and you had Diami, you had McLaurin and Dotson. I think Dotson's in here too. I think I recognize Jahan Dotson. But they did that last year as well, and look how that turned out for Sam Howell and the entire team. So it doesn't necessarily lead to wins, but what it does do is it leads to a better relationship among teammates, and that really plays a big part on the success overall, not necessarily the success wins and losses, but it could lead to success eventually on the football field when these guys do this. And I expect to see it again. One thing that stood out to me, I've always known as Mariota being a big dude, right? And he's standing right next to Jayden Daniels, and they look the same, right? We were so concerned about Jayden Daniels and his sleight of frame, if you will. I'm not seeing it right now. He doesn't look that way right now. So I wouldn't be too concerned about his size and his weight at the moment. That could be just an angle of the photo or whatever, but I really liked it. Someone else brought up the situation with Brandon Ayuk that's still unresolved in San Francisco. And I believe he said, specifically, he said that if he doesn't get the deal done in San Francisco, he wants to go to either Pittsburgh or Washington. And we've talked about it. We talked about it 2 weeks ago ad nauseum. We just talked about it. And there's obviously some pluses and some minuses to having Brandon Ayuk here in Washington. The talent is undeniable. But is the talent going to be worth the compensation that you would have to give up in terms of draft picks, in terms of maybe trading players, in terms of salary cap? He's on the last year of his deal. If you only have him for 1 year and he doesn't work out, that's kind of okay, but you've lost those draft picks that you gave up for him. Or if he turns out to be a hit, you got to pay the guy $30 million a year next year. Now they have the cap room, but do they want to use it on a number two wide receiver? So that's still unresolved in Washington or in San Francisco with Brandon Ayuk. So it's going to be out there for Washington people to be checking out on whether or not they want to bring in Brandon Ayuk. So a lot of stuff going on. I will say there's not as much stuff going on as there were in the last few years in the offseason. We usually had a lot of off the field stuff to talk about, but we don't have to talk about that stuff anymore because the old guy's gone. I'm not putting a dollar in the jar because I'm not going to say his name. But listen, we got a great rest of your show. Later on, again, in the cool down, we're going to have our mailbag segment where you all can steer the show. You all can bring up the topics that you want to talk about in the mailbag, and I'll answer those and also let everybody else answer them, and we'll have a good interacting segment coming up here in the game. Again, we're going to have Rico Street Scores. He's going to be joining us here after the break. So make sure you stay with us because Rico is a great content creator. I'm sure, again, if you know Washington Commanders content and you know Ref the District, then you will definitely know Rico and all the great stuff that he does. So when we get back from this quick short break, we're going to have Rico Street Scores here on Ref the District. Stay tuned. Oh, I didn't change that. All right. So welcome back to Ref the District, episode number 180. Again, make sure you hit that like button if you're not a subscriber. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We appreciate everybody who's here. The game section of Episode number 180 is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. I've got Don't Sleep Energy right here. They're a fantastic DMV company. If you're on the go and you need a quick hit, this is a great drink. This is sugar-free. They also have regular, and they even have these great on the other side. They have these great shots of Don't Sleep Energy. So make sure you check them out. Again, they're a local company. They're a small company, and we love working with them. So head on over to don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the code DISTRICT, as in ref the district. Use the code DISTRICT to get 10% off anything that you order online with Don't Sleep Energy. We love those folks. Make sure you support a local DMV company. So without further ado, let's talk about breakout stars. We're going to bring in our guest, Street Scores Rico. Come on in. Here we go. Let me get the graphics all set. What's up, Rico? How you doing, brother?
Yes, sir. What's good? I'm good. I'm happy good. Hey, to talk some football.
Yeah, we appreciate you popping in here with us here on Ref the District. Again, I'm Stoner. Trev and Nathan are off tonight, so it's just you and I to have a back and forth, and we're going to talk about breakout stars, before we get into all that, Rico, I think pretty much everybody who is in here watching right now live with us, they know who you are because they have already said love Rico and love his content. But tell us a little bit about your content, your channel, and what you got going on.
Yes, sir. So, I'm really a GM at heart. So when it comes to like free agency draft, that's like the part that I'm always most passionate about. I'll do the film sessions, the all 22. I mean, of course I love the games, but I mean, this offseason was a dream case scenario for me. Hey, how you doing, Brian? Dream case scenario for me. It couldn't have been any better. Now, sadly, hopefully we don't have to go through something like that again with all of the front office and coaching changes. You know, if everything's going well, we don't have to. But for me, this offseason couldn't have been any better. So that's really what my content is based around, team build, any hires. I know a lot of people think I'm weird, but I did like a whole 40-minute breakdown on Eugene Shin getting hired. So I just love all of that stuff.
Did you have to do a 40-minute breakdown on him leaving the organization as well?
People pulled up ready to say what happened to your boy as soon as we moved from him. But I'm not going to lie. I love Brandon Sosna. If I had to choose between the two, it would be Brandon. I was just hoping we could find a way, you know, to move Eugene Shin to another role for the Commanders. Apparently he's supposed to do something still for David Blitzer and Josh Harris on like the hockey and basketball side, but wish we could have somehow found a way to keep him around. Cause I just really think he's a smart guy just based on his resume and things like, and then like the conferences, I watch his conferences and things like that. So, but I'm happy with the result that we have right now. I'm excited.
Okay. So putting the Jaden Daniels pick aside, right, what was your favorite hire / signing / draft pick? You have to include Adam Peters. You have to include a draft pick. You have to include Eckler or whatever. You can only pick one. What was your biggest, your favorite move?
Favorite move? I may have to go Adam Peters, even though I think Brandon Sosna is like a big trailblazing move that we're going to look back years from now and be like, how do we get him? But I'm going to have to start with Adam Peters because we probably don't even get Brandon Sosna without Adam Peters. We maybe don't draft Jaden Daniels without Adam Peters. A lot of the people that we brought in, Lance Newmark, even Dan Quinn as a head coach. Just even being able to bring in Anthony Lynn as a run game coordinator to take him from the 49ers. He's not even getting a promotion. He's going from coaching Christian McCaffrey and having the best run game in the NFL to come here to do the same exact thing. I think a lot of that is just Adam Peters' reputation and his name holding weight. And everybody wants to be a part of what we're doing. The free agency class that we had, we signed the most free agents, but we didn't even spend the most free agency money. So you can argue we were the most efficient. And a lot of that, the facilities are basically, Josh Harris is trying to change it, but the facilities are basically the same. A lot of that is more so the Adam Peters effect more than anything else.
Anthony Lynn, you brought up, was a very underrated signing. You know, this is a former head coach, a former offensive coordinator, and now he's the running backs coach here in Washington. because, like you said, because he wanted to. He left a great situation to come to an unknown situation because he wanted to. So I think that's a big move that we're kind of underselling here in Washington.
It is. I mean, can we blame anybody? Because we've done so many great moves. It's just kind of like, it's hard to really focus on every little move that we've made and keep up with everything and really like be amazed. Cause everything, especially like the Anthony Lynn sign and hiring, was kind of like back to back with other news. If we were to just hire Anthony Lynn today, I feel like it would have gotten a lot more attention, but it's just, it was a very hectic free off season, but in a great way though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And we didn't break the bank, like you said, with these $100 million free agents, that are just looking to get paid. So yeah, I think it was an excellent offseason, but I think there's some work to do here in Washington. I got one more question before we get to the breakout stars. This seems to be pretty common here in Washington, but like, you're a Commanders fan, but I don't think you're a Wizards fan. I don't think you're a Nats fan. You know what I mean? You're a Georgia guy. All you can do is hype up University of Georgia and, oh, here we go. We got to get some Georgia swag out, right? But how does that happen? Because like Nathan, one of the co-hosts, Nathan is a Commanders fan, but he's an OKC Thunder basketball fan. And Trev, one of the other hosts, he's a Commanders fan, but he's a Lakers and Bulls fan, right? How does that happen around here that you can be a fan of one team in the area and not of the other? Because I'm a Wiz, I'm Caps, I'm all DC all the time. How does Rico go from being just a Commanders fan in this area and not fan of the other teams?
Mine is probably a more complicated, different story from a lot of people, but I was born in Maryland, but also my mom and like a lot of my family, even though, you know, people from DMV, I guess, you know, people are like half Commanders, half Cowboys. So I have some Cowboys in my family, but like, especially my mom's generation are straight burgundy and gold. So I feel like no matter where I was born, I probably would have just followed my mom to what she was a fan of anyway, even if I was born in Atlanta. But I was born in Maryland. I was in PG County, Mitchellville, Bowie, all of that type of stuff for a little bit. Then I moved to Atlanta. And I mean, so I guess because of my family, even though I didn't know what was going on, I was just like, I'm a burgundy and gold fan. My mom has me in pictures at 2 years old with a jersey that's too big for me, and then the little face paint and things like that. So, and so then by the time I got to Atlanta, and then once I got of age to actually know what's going on, like what's a first down, what's an unnecessary roughness, I was already here. So yeah. I had Georgia to look at. And then I'm pretty much Georgia and Atlanta for really pretty much every other sport, even though I'm not as passionate outside of football as much. But typically like basketball, I just attach myself to like the best Atlanta player in the league. So right now it's Anthony Edwards. So football is the only one where it's like, these are my two teams. No matter if we go winless, I'm Georgia and I'm Commanders. But everything else is kind of like, hey, I'll tune in here and there.
Washington have any Bulldogs on the team right now?
I wish. No, I mean, none, huh? Jake Fromm's gone.
Fromm.
Yeah. I think Eli Wolf was there for a second. And I think before then it was Thomas Davis. Maybe before then it was Bakari Rambo. But I mean, we do have Marcus Rosemi Jack Saint, but you know, he's hurt. He had the hamstring situation that we're, you know, trying to get him back from. But that's really it. Because Commanders, as a Georgia Bulldog fan that's wanted the Commanders to draft Georgia Bulldogs for years, I've noticed how many Oklahoma guys we get. I've noticed how many Alabama guys we have, especially on the defensive line, or even Cam Sims. So, you know, I'm waiting. Hopefully next draft will be the time.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about who the potential breakout stars are for Washington. And again, we're joined here by Rico from Street Scores. If you haven't checked him out, make sure you sub up to his channel on YouTube and hit all his socials as well. But let's talk about potential breakout stars. And I got a picture of Jaden Daniels in here just because, you know, Jaden Daniels sells tickets, right? So, but let's take him out of the equation, right? Because everyone is going to say he's the biggest potential. Offensively, there are some guys who have the potential to be breakout stars. First, you have, I believe it was Pro Football Network said Brian Robinson is the potential breakout star for Washington. And then you have Jahan Dotson, who really, to his standard, said he had a down year last year, even though his numbers were up. So you have a Jahan Dotson as a potential breakout star. You have, some rookies in there like Luke McCaffrey or even Ben Sinnott, guys like that. Cole Turner could be one of those guys. Who offensively do you look at and say, this guy, I believe, is going to be a breakout star offensively for the Commanders?
Well, just like an honorable mention, even though Terry McLaurin is very well known, I mean, people are rating him outside of the top 15 receivers right now. I think Jaden Daniels being here, a quality offense, I think he's going to, you know, actually put up the numbers to where people start to respect him more. So I think he'll become like a breakout for outside of our fan base. I think more people will finally know his name, you know, want to take him sooner in fantasy drafts and things like that. He'll have a higher rating in Madden and things like that. But my true breakout star for the Commanders, it has to be easily for me, Samuel Cosmi. I think he's our closest all pro. I felt like he was, especially the second half of last season, I felt like he was literally the best player on the team, regardless of position, side of the ball. I really feel like Samuel Cosmi, but it's kind of like the reason London Fletcher is still not in the Hall of Fame and things like that. When you're not on the team, even though he did win outside of the Commanders, but when he was on the Commanders, since we didn't win, a lot of these guys don't get recognized. And I feel like Samuel Cosmi, if we win 8 games last year, makes a Pro Bowl. I just feel like it's so much about it is popularity. And I think Samuel Cosmi has been playing at a really high level. I think this year is really the chance, once we, even if we don't win a lot of games, if we just have more national media attention just because we have a star quarterback, then, that's what really runs the league. I think he'll get enough attention to where people at least recognize him to a Pro Bowl level.
All right. I like that. I like going to the offensive line, the big uglies up front there. They're going to be a breakout. Let's go to kind of skill position. Okay, let's talk about tight end, running back, wide receiver, and who do you like could possibly, just go to that next level. And I know you talked about Terry going to that next level, or at least getting nationally known. But who makes a big step? Is it a rookie or is it a Jahan Dotson? Does Diami make this team and start making an impact on this team? Who do you like in the skill positions?
If I had to pick a rookie, I think Ben Sinnott is just so versatile. And I it may not be immediately week one. It may not be by week five. But I think at some point in this season, people are going to truly start to like notice that this guy is everywhere. Like, is he in the back? I mean, if you look at his college tape, he's like in shotgun, he's like back there as like the running back sometimes. He's inline tight end. He's a big slot. Like, you can use him in so many different ways. Of course, I see a comment, somebody saying Armani Rogers would be my pick. Like, that's who I hope is the breakout star. But if I had to pick safely, I think Ben Sinnott would be the guy. I think he's Cliff Kingsbury. I feel like he's going to get so creative with him. I mean, you see on his tape, even like being the lead blocker, he took out an edge rusher one time and then took out, I think it was a linebacker or the DB. The quarterback went untouched on a quarterback run because of Ben Sinnott. I think he's just going to be such an important piece to this offense. I can't wait to see him go out there.
With some of the guys that this organization has brought in, and when we talk about the tight end room, right, you lose Logan Thomas, but you bring in a Zach Ertz, and then you draft a Ben Sinnott. So you've got a couple of guys who are also leftovers. Like, everybody's forgetting about Bates, right? John Bates is still on this team. And, of course, Armani Rogers and maybe even Hodges is still around on this team. I can't even remember. But that's going to be a position that is going to be tough to sort of break into playing time. Because if Zach Ertz is healthy, he's getting a lot of playing time. And you just talked all about the qualities of Ben Sinnott and what he can do in that position. And we talked about how we like Armani Rogers. And, again, you can't forget about Bates. Right. So who do you sort of see emerging, assuming everybody stays healthy? Let's say Zach Ertz stays healthy. That's a big if. But who do you sort of like kind of breaking out into being the guy other than Zach Ertz and Ben? Let's give it. Benson is obviously going to make the team. Who are the other guys that are maybe even looking on the outside when the 53-man roster is announced?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Armani Rodgers. I truly believe in his
ceiling. We are on this channel too,
I mean, you just can't teach that athleticism. You can't, there's nothing, you can't teach his speed, his change of direction. I mean, he's still fairly raw. But we did see in 2022, you know, before he got hurt in early 2023, he started to show that he improved as a blocker. I mean, he wasn't a great blocker, but he was showing improvement. You know, he started to work on his route running. You saw Scott Turner even give him the ball out of the backfield and just basically let him use his athleticism sometimes. Sometimes you don't even overthink it. Just let him be an athlete. And I think you just you can't let a guy like that walk out of the building no matter what. This tight end group, I didn't realize it until I thought about it like a month ago. Like, we're going to end up losing at least one or two tight ends that another team is going to want to come in and scoop up immediately. Unless we like protect them on the practice squad, like a Cole Turner is a contested catch master. He may not be everybody's cup of tea because maybe not every quarterback wants to throw it in the contested catch situations. But the quarterbacks that do would love Cole Turner. He would put up amazing numbers in the offense for a quarterback that wants that. But he may be on the outside looking in. We're already seeing Colson Yonkoff, the undrafted free agent. I've been hearing his name come up a lot in practice, even for like deep shots down the field and things like that. And he's basically coming in as like a fullback type, kind of like a Ben Sennett versatile guy. But I mean, I don't necessarily see him making the team either. So we went from not enough tight ends to I mean, we're going to end up cutting somebody really well in one offseason, which just goes to the point of what Adam Peters has put together for this team. Now, of course, a lot of this, to your point, hinges on can Zach Ertz actually stay healthy. But I love the talent in the tight end room. Because John Bates, I mean, we don't usually talk about him because he's not the exciting guy in the tight end room, but he's arguably the best blocking tight end in the NFL, and that has his use.
Yeah, we talk about John Bates on this channel. We say he's basically a – tackle in a tight end number, you know, because that's where his skills really are, is in blocking. And you know, I didn't like when they were throwing tight end screens to John Bates, and you know, back when Scott Turner was doing that, and it drove us crazy. But he does have a place on this team if they want to run the ball more than what they did last year, which I'm sure they're going to run the ball a lot more than they did last year. All right, let's talk about wide receivers and what you think of who I think of everybody on offense, and we haven't even talked about him one time yet, but who's my guy for a breakout star. I think Luke McCaffrey's the real deal. I love what he brings in terms of what something you've talked about a lot is athleticism. Armani Rodgers has the athleticism, and guys like that, and Ben Sennett. This guy's freaky athletic and hasn't been playing wide receiver for very long, and yet he still got drafted within the top 100 in the NFL. I think he's a guy who could take over wide receiver 3 before we go into game 1. What do you think of Luke McCaffrey? Am I kind of overselling him a little bit?
I mean, actually, maybe you undersell. I'm very high on him as well, because we're already seeing in practices so far, I think it was mandatory mini camps where he was working with Anthony Lynn practicing, like, you know, taking handoffs. Maybe he's going to fill into like that. Well, we have a void in the Curtis Samuel role because he just left, or what Anthony Lynn had in San Francisco with Deebo Samuel, or even his brother Christian McCaffrey. And after we drafted him, after I saw his testing numbers, because I'm not even going to sit here and lie and act like I super knew who Luke McCaffrey was before we drafted him. Sure. But after we did, I saw his athletic testing, and I went to the RAS, and I went to the Raw Athletic Score system, and I was like, how does he compare to his brother? And I put them at wide receiver, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. He's a wide receiver. Christian McCaffrey's a running back. But then I switched it to running back, and he had the higher score there as well. So, I mean, the ceiling is there. The athleticism is there. It's just, can we get creative? How soon will he be ready? Because, I mean, there's a big jump going from, to your point, not only going from the college to the NFL, but switching to receiver relatively recently. You know, we can't necessarily expect him to go out there and be a just a baller week one. But I truly believe that we found a really good receiver here, that he's going to get a second contract here. He's gonna be a headache for the defenses to deal with, especially with, again, him potentially moving into the Curtis Samuel role. I'm very excited about Luke McCaffrey. I'm right with you.
Yeah, I think we kind of underappreciate when a guy sort of moves from the quarterback position to a skill position and what that brings to his team, because he can think like a quarterback. And that's why we see quarterbacks are able to become a different player at a different position. The Logan Thomases of the world, you know, guys who were quarterbacks in college, but they're able to, athleticism obviously is the biggest reason, but they think like a quarterback. And so they understand route concepts and they understand how to get open in certain zones and all that. And I think that's what McCaffrey will bring to the Commanders, is just his knowledge of being a quarterback and what he can do to help out Jaden Daniels as well when he's in the game.
Completely agree. I mean, even just little things like body motion and body language, like, you know, before you go into your breaks, you know, this, I'm about to be open. And it's like so many nuanced things that I'm not even that well knowledged on, that, you know, he could definitely, that he could be a huge help to Jaden. And I love the fact that him and Jaden Daniels are getting to the practice before everybody else by at least 30 minutes. I love that. Great. People are saying, you know, that I'm pointing out the fact that, like, that's what CJ Stroud and Tank Dell were doing last year around this time. Not saying that that's literally the season that they're going to have, but that's the type of work ethic and passion and drive that they have right now. I'm loving it.
Yeah. We talked about that in our opening segment, in our warm-up. We talked about the photo of those guys out in Oregon, the Daniels and Mariota and B Rob and all those guys. And it happens every year, and it happens with pretty much every team, right? Last year, Sam Howell did it with him and Brissett and Terry and John and all them. And you see it didn't necessarily create success, but it has the potential to do that. So you really like to see when guys are getting together off season, and to your point, guys are getting together before practice, first ones in there and going through playbooks and things like that. It's not necessarily going to lead directly to a win or more wins or anything, but it can't hurt. I can tell you that. It can't hurt. All right, let's go to the other side of the ball. Let's go to the defense where, look, last year this defense was horrific. Unbelievable that it was so bad, and some of the defensive statistics, measurables, when you looked at it, and you were like, how can it be? Denver gave up 70 points in a game, and they were not even the worst defense in the league. Washington was. So who do you think could be a potential? I'll give you two, but let's start with one. Who do you think is your number one breakout star? And star is kind of a loose term. I'm not meaning that they're going to be all pro or anything like that, but a guy who's just going to take that leap and say, okay, we're solid at that position for the next 3 or 4 years with that guy. Who's your first guy in defense?
I gotta go to Jeremy Chinn. Just another freak athlete, and I feel like the system, because he was just kind of like in no man's land with Carolina once they switched to their different defensive coordinator. From when he was the rookie, he was the, you know, defensive rookie of the year backup to Chase Young, and then they switched defensive coordinators, and that defensive coordinator just, I mean, I don't want to call him lazy, but he just didn't like utilizing a big nickel, a buffalo nickel, or what I prefer to call it, a star position, like the hybrid safety linebacker type of guy. He just didn't like that. He was just more traditional. I like linebackers. I like defensive linemen. I like corners. I like safeties. That's it. No in-betweeners. So Jeremy Chinn was just kind of just out there running around with no real sense of direction. And I feel like he's going to come here with Dan Quinn's track record, with the Cam Chancellors, with the J-Ron curses and things like that. If anybody knows how to utilize and get the most out of a big safety type of guy, it's going to be this defensive system. I think Jeremy Chinn, elite athlete too. I mean, far better athlete than J-Ron Curse ever could have been in Dallas. I think the ceiling is just so high. I think that would easily be my breakout star. He's one of my favorite, arguably my favorite free agency signing, just because I think he's going to be so great at what they ask him to do. He's going to make plays. He's going to cause turnovers. I think he's going to give offensive coordinators headaches trying to figure out how do we game plan around him. I can't wait, because, I mean, you can play him in strong safety, star, hybrid safety, linebacker, around the line of scrimmage, sideline to sideline. I'm really excited about him.
It almost seems like that's what this defense is going to be all about, and that is kind of positionless. Like, you're going to have guys like Jeremy Chinn and probably, you know, Frankie Louvu, even Jamin Davis may be a guy who's playing all over the place. not necessarily being in sort of a specific position. Quan Martin, who's been mentioned on here a couple of times as a potential breakout. These guys aren't necessarily just going to be playing the same spot every time. They're going to be moving all around, which is something we haven't seen around here in quite some time. So I like the Jeremy Chinn, but as Locked On Law had here earlier, Locked On says he likes Chinn, but is he going to be here? He's on a one-year contract, right? If he does do what you say and kind of goes to that next level here in Washington, is that somebody you want to put a lot of money into this offseason?
I would hope so, but I'm not very confident in it at all. If he has the season that I hope he has, he's probably going to try to go get big. Marcus said it. He even said it himself. He took less money and didn't go to like to the Steelers, for example, to come here because he feels like this defense will showcase his skill set for him to maximize his contract potential and negotiation leverage the next offseason. So it sounds like this guy, he wants to come in, get paid very little, put his head down, ball out this year, and then go get his money next year. And maybe we will not be able to afford his services beyond that. And also to add to your point, too, about positionless football, we've seen Joe Witt Jr. really emphasize that, stop asking me about 11 starters. It's really like a rotation of 15, 16 guys that, depending on the matchup, depending on how we feel with certain things, is the base. He didn't say this, but I'm just throwing this out there that, depending on if the opponent likes to use tight ends as receivers more often, or are they more of like a power run system? Do they have a bunch of quick receivers that, one guy that may get more snaps one week may not, another guy may potentially get more snaps the next week. And I'm really excited about that. Even just showcasing how much talent we have, I feel like we have a lot of depth, but also for offensive coordinators, they don't exactly know what they're walking into when they're preparing for us.
So what you're saying, if I may paraphrase, what you're saying is we finally got coaches who are going to be able to coach a game plan.
literally.
Yeah, it's been kind of ridiculous, but I agree. When Joe Witt Jr. said that, it was really telling to me that, just like you said, is that, you could have a game, let's just say one game against a certain team where Jamin Davis plays 85% of the snaps. And then the next game, he plays like 35% of the snaps, not because they don't trust him or not because he had a bad game, but because they're doing something to combat the offense and what they do well. So he's going to put, maybe instead of having Jamin Davis in there, having a Quan Martin play in the position that Jamin was, because Jamin was rushing the quarterback. I like what he's saying in that we're not going to dictate sort of what the media wants, which is, who are your 11 starters? Who are your 11 backups? But we're going to put out there whatever it takes to put the guys in the best position to make this defense better. Joe Witt Jr., breakout star. That's kind of cheating, but I think he's going to be a name that's going to, in the next couple of years, that's going to be talked about for some head coaching jobs because of what he does here in Washington.
I agree. Fully agree.
I like him a lot. I thought it was a fantastic choice for Quinn to bring him in to be the defensive coordinator. All right, so you got Jeremy Chinn as one of your breakout stars. Do you have a second?
Oh, yeah, for sure, Quan Martin. And I hate that both of my guys are safeties, because I would love if an edge broke out. It would be really nice if we had a breakout edge rusher, because even though Dan Quinn and Joe Jr. are pretty good at simulating pressure themselves with, getting really creative with blitzing DBs or linebackers, or, leaning the defense towards one side to overload another side, different things like that. But I would love if we just had a true game changing, you got a double team of edge rusher. That would be great. But Quan Martin stepping up into a Cameron Cole like role, I'm very excited. Because it's really interesting too, because Cameron Curl 2 years ago was the star, the Buffalo nickel hybrid safety linebacker guy. Then he moved into a strong safety role last year because they wanted to basically keep him healthier. And then he was more so not in the box as much, more so in coverage. And it seems like Quan Martin's going to do the same thing from last year, going to being around the line of scrimmage more. So now he's going to be further back as well. And I think he's going to step into that role so perfectly. I mean, he had one of the most explosive, broad jumps, or one of the verticals that a safety's ever had at the combine. He's so explosive. He's so quick. He's basically just a The one advantage I would give Cameron Curl over him is that he's longer. So maybe he would be better at covering like bigger receivers, tight ends, and things like that. But I give Quan Martin every other athletic advantage as far as quickness, change of direction, speed, explosion, all of those type of things. So I think his ceiling is higher. We saw once we started to finally give him opportunities towards the second half of last season that, you know, he started to shine. He started to make plays. He catches interceptions. A lot of Commanders players have just not been able to catch the interception. Even when it's right there and it's pretty much a punt drill, they just haven't been able to catch it every time. Quan Martin caught his. And so I'm very excited about the potential that he's going to bring. I mean, I know we're trying to get away from the word like versatility because it's kind of like a jack of all trades and a master of none type of thing. But I truly believe that some of these guys are like great at multiple things, not just okay at multiple things. I think Quan Martin is going to be a versatile player. I mean, really, you can play him anywhere but outside corner, in my opinion. And if you pretty much just hold him at strong safety, ask him to get better at that. He trains towards strong safety. When he's when he's doing his all 22 film sessions and in practice, he's like looking at it from the viewpoint of a strong safety. We keep him at one point, but then you maybe move him around every now and then. I think he's going to be excellent in this defense, especially with the help that's around him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got a lot of help now for sure. A couple points on that. One is, what was the term that Ron Rivera used that everybody hated in terms of
positional
like
positional flex?
Positional flex. It's a terrible term, Rico, but you know what? It's true.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you were saying. You want a guy to be able to play multiple positions and not be stuck to being, you're an inside linebacker, that's where you're going to play. Well, maybe that guy can do multiple things. So position flex, we got sick of the term because it was Ron Rivera and it wasn't working. But I still think positional flex is super important on any team, but especially on defense.
Keep the offense guessing. I mean, that extra maybe 1 or 2 seconds that the quarterback has to hold on to the ball just off of, I don't know what they're doing on defense. I don't know what coverage they're in. They look like they were in cover 2 pre-snap. Now it looks like they're in cover 3. Quan Martin looked like he was the free safety. Now he's moved down to the box. I mean, all of those calculations that a quarterback has to go through, I mean, it has to be like lightning quick. And that extra holding on to the ball for maybe like a second or two, that extra pat of the football that gives Dorrance Armstrong and those guys a chance to get to the quarterback. So, yeah, I completely agree.
All right, another thing is that Allison brings up, you know, do we have a guy that you are okay with at free safety, or is that something that this team's going to have to look at in the offseason?
It's really complicated because when I pictured this defense after we finished the draft, after free agency was done and everything like that, I was picturing maybe Derek Forrest at free safety. And then maybe Quan Martin is strong safety. Jeremy Chinn is your Buffalo nickel. But I saw in practice sometimes with the starting group, you had Jeremy Chinn at like strong safety, I believe. And then Quan Martin at free safety. That way, I mean, you got to play Mike Sanders still. He's so talented. He's so instinctual, even though he hasn't been playing the position very long. I mean, he has to play 70% of snaps. So then where do you play the extra guy?
Yeah. It's an embarrassment of riches, almost. I mean, that's getting a little ahead of ourselves, but you do have guys. I mean, we haven't even talked about Sanastrill, right? And he's a guy that's going to play. He's going to play a lot. And we saw in that Commander's log in the draft room how much Quinn loved him, and even Adam Peters loves him, and Joe Witt Jr. just really loved him. So too bad it was a Michigan guy, though. I wish I'm not a Michigan guy, so. But I'm okay with him being on the squad. And another thing that you brought up that I thought was a really important take is that Quan Martin in the preseason looked like he didn't even belong on a college football team. He looked so lost out there.
Yeah.
In training camp and in preseason games, it was like, oh my God, they whiffed on a second rounder again. He was a second rounder, wasn't he? Or was he a third rounder? I can't remember, but
second round.
He was a second rounder, right? So, oh man, but by the end of the season, he was out there. He was making plays. He looked like he belonged, which is really what you want from a rookie. Is at worst, look like you belong out there and you know what you're doing, and eventually you'll start to develop and start making plays. And he was making plays by the end of the year. So I like the Quan Martin breakout potential. Last question on the defense, Rico. Is right now, you have to make this decision right now, is Emmanuel Forbes a bust? Was that a bad pick? And just we got to move on.
Under this coaching staff, no. Just simply because, I mean, Deron Bland was drafted in the fifth round. There were reports that Dan Quinn and those guys maybe wanted to even draft Emmanuel Forbes in the first round, and they pretty much settled on Deron Bland in the fifth round because they didn't get Emmanuel Forbes in the first round. He even had a top 30 visit with them and things like that. And I feel like this their defensive scheme maximizes Emmanuel Forbes' potential as being like an interception hunter rather than like a cover corner. He's not just going to lock up a receiver per se for like 3 to 5 seconds. That's not necessarily his game. He's going to be in more of like a Trevon Diggs role, a Deron Bland. We have proof of product from what Dan Quinn has done with those guys. Joe Jr. have done with those two guys. Trevon Diggs got hurt, so Deron Bland had to step up, set a pick six record in an NFL season. I'm not expecting Emmanuel Forbes to break out like that, but I'm expecting him to be way better than what he was last year. Instead of being asked to cover A.J. Brown all game when Benjamin St. Juice has literally the better build for it. All of us saw it. All of us knew it. I don't know how the Commanders didn't. Maybe they were just secretly tanking. I don't know. But Emmanuel Forbes is a great fit with Dan Quinn because you have the Benjamin St. Juice, you have the Michael Davis to be the cover guys to basically play the Stephon Diggs-like role. I mean Stephon Gilmore-like role. And you're then right. You have Emmanuel Forbes going around and interception hunting, which is what he did best in college. I mean, in college, even when you look at his tape, when we were very high on him coming out of college, it wasn't necessarily like he was locking up SEC receivers for 3 to 5 seconds every time. It was just he had a nose for the football. And Dan Quinn and Joe Jr. have led the best takeover defense over the last 3 years in the NFL, and that's why they brought over Mike Sabathia. That's why they're probably salivating over Emmanuel Forbes, even though I know a lot of our fan base is sick of Emmanuel Forbes. They're giving up on him. But I'm pretty sure Dan Quinn and Joe Jr. are very excited about what he can be in their defense.
Big Doug from Big Doug and Carmi show. You can check out his
Bulldog fan.
Yeah.
George Bulldog
fan. Yeah, there you go. No, yeah, you know him well because he's another Bulldog. Yep. He thinks that St. Juice is poised for a breakout year. Do you like St. Juice in terms of being a guy that they can count on with this defensive coaching staff?
It's actually really funny, too, because our entire outside cornerback group, it's like if we could do a time machine and have the 2022 versions of all three of those guys,
yeah,
we have an elite secondary. Michael Davis was looking like a top 10 corner in 2022 in spurts. Even though Pro Football Focus doesn't agree, but I felt like Benjamin St. Juice was better in 2022 than in 2023. And then Emmanuel Forbes, of course, when he was in college and, you know, set it at some sort of interception record, we can get the 2022 version of our outside cornerback group. We're in great hands. But Benjamin St. Juice specifically, I feel like, again, to the Emmanuel Forbes stepping into the Deron Bland role, I think Benjamin St. Juice could step into the Stephon Gilmore role. Now, he's not Stephon Gilmore, but I think having an elite linebacker group in front of him, a potentially a pretty good pass rush in front of him, better than what he's had, is going to help him in a lot of different ways. So I think he definitely can be. I love his talent. He may not be the fastest guy, may not be the quickest guy, but his change of direction and his length. I think Dan Quinn, to your point, like we have coaches that coach now, I feel like they're going to put him in the right situations, not just sit over there in the island and cover this guy all game. We may switch it up every now and then.
All right. Let me ask you the one off season omission, or maybe I don't want to say mistake. I don't want to make this negative, but what are you looking at that in the Commanders off season that still concerns you? Heading into, I mean, training camp is 2 weeks away when the rookies report, somewhere around there, and 3 weeks away from veterans. So what are you concerned about most with this team, with the roster?
Not trading up for Amarius Mims. Even though to Adam Peters' credit, I believe he said something to like, we tried to trade up for a tackle, but people were asking for way too much. They knew we were desperate. So they were asking for way more because of that. And I appreciate the fact that he stood his ground and did not trade up for that reason. So it's not like a full-blown, I regret this, but we do have a situation at left tackle to where, like, I guess Cornelius Lucas is a pretty decent pass blocker, kind of. Trent Scott's a really mobile run blocker. Like, whenever we want to really do our run package, especially with Jaden Daniels using his legs, and then all the packages of Austin Ekeler and Brian Robinson, he would be better as like a run blocker that can get to the second level of pull. Brandon Coleman has the potential to be better than both of those guys at what they're best at, but is he ready by week one? And when you just drafted a quarterback second overall, you would love for his blind side to be a little bit we obviously have a little bit more confidence in that guy. I love the potential of Brandon Coleman. I think he has starting left tackle written all over him. It just may not be as soon as we would like. So that's my biggest concern there. Again, would have loved if we traded up for a tackle, but I'm very happy that Adam Peters realized that people were trying to get more out of him than necessarily was worth. They were probably looking at the value chart and were like, yeah, we could add a few hundred more points into this just because we know they need a left tackle. They took quarterback second overall. Let's ask for more than we normally would. And I love the fact that Adam Peters did not budge on that.
Yeah, I think probably in that moment, you're probably right that he didn't want to get fleeced on any sort of move up option. But he may not be singing a different tune in week whatever it is when, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau comes off and makes Cornelius Lucas, you know, look like a child and then pummels your number two overall pick. And you're sitting there screaming because Daniels is, oh, my shoulder, you know, something like that. And then he's going to say, maybe I should have made those trades and moved up and got a stud left tackle in the draft. But, you know, we're kind of picking at the team right now with everything that we saw. We really liked almost everything that they did, but I'm with you. That left tackle position, I'm very, very concerned about going into the season.
And to your point, I mean, the edge rushers got better in this division. Mm-hmm. I mean, now we have to deal with Brian Burns. And I don't know what it is about Kayvon Thibodeau where he really doesn't do anything against any other team until he plays us.
Yeah.
Where
his or breakout like Daniel Jones, the same thing.
Yeah, literally. It's the Giants. It's literally just the Giants. I don't know what we did to them. I don't know if they put all of their offseason effort into when we play the Commanders, we got to beat them. I don't know what it is, but Kayvon Thibodeau only scares us. Other teams aren't afraid of him, but us as Commanders fans, we have enough PTSD from the Kayvon Thibodeau experience to know that we need to figure out this left tackle situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, Rico, before we get you out of here, let me ask you what your kind of overall realistic expectations are for this team. Not your way high expectations or your way low, but what are your realistic expectations going into, you know, where you expect them to be in January, late January, when the season's over?
I'm not necessarily expecting a Houston Texans season like CJ Stroud. Yeah. They draft the second overall pick, go to the playoffs, even win a playoff game, win a division and things like that. First of all, I feel like our division is tougher. I feel like the Texans definitely got with Anthony Richardson getting hurt, you know, a lot of different factors, but I don't want to go on that whole rant. But I feel like our defense being mightily improved. I mean, when you're the worst, you can only go up. So I feel like that's not much of an expert prediction there, but I expect our defense to go from bottom five to maybe even top 15, top 10. I feel like the veteran leadership, I feel like the veteran coaching, the elite coaching that we have. I feel like even a guy like Jason Simmons, who we brought over from the Oakland Raiders to be our defensive passing game coordinator, is going to pay huge dividends for our secondary. His development that he did over there, I feel like that's going to be big time for a lot of our secondary guys. So I just see just every level to every level. Maybe we got less athletic edge rusher wise because you lose Chase Young and Montez Sweat, but I feel like overall defense, we are going to be way better, especially schematically. And I feel like Mike Sambrestil is probably going to be the catalyst for our defense being much better. So I see that. And then just overall team wise, and I guess we can throw offense in there. I mean, we only won four games last year. I'm seeing maybe like seven or eight. I feel like we're going to be a highly competitive team that even the games we lose, I feel like it'll be close. I don't feel like it's going to be 35 to 10 games like we had in last year. I feel like our games will more than likely be somewhat 24 to 20, 24 to 17 and things like that. And I see us leaving this season, even if we don't make the playoffs, very optimistic about what the future can be. Like, oh, we started to see Jaden Daniels figure it out towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Samuel Cosmi makes a Pro Bowl. We're like, okay, now, and that will, that's a, I guess, a bridge we got to cross when we get there, but we're going to have to end up paying him. I hope we pay him as soon as possible before he has that breakout year. So we have to pay him more money long term. But I just see like Jahan Dotson has that bounce back year. Terry McLaurin starts to get more respect around the NFL. I can see us taking a lot of positives from the year, even if we don't make the playoffs. I think 7-8 wins is probably like a really good, safe guess.
I'm right there with you, Rico. I mean, if you go from 4 to 8 wins, you double your win total from the year before with a first-year coach and a first-year GM and all that. I mean, that's a massive improvement. We don't need to go to 10, 11 wins to consider the year successful. There'll be some games in there where you'll be super disappointed and you'll be like, I don't know where this team's going. And then you'll have games where you're like, okay, we may have lost that game, but at least we didn't get blown out by Justin Fields and the Bears, you know, on Thursday Night Football. But for me also, I'm right there. I think if they win 7 or 8 games, they double, almost double or double their win total. And at the end of the season, you look at Jaden Daniels, regardless of what his stats are, and you say, that's our quarterback. That's our quarterback for the next 3 to 4 years. You can see everything is there. He just needs to continue to develop and all that. That I consider that a fantastic season, even though it's only, you know, you have another losing record at 8-9 or 7-10. If you know Jaden Daniels is the guy, then I think that's a successful season.
I completely agree. It technically may count as a problem, but you also know you had a successful season when teams are trying to come get maybe like a Brian Johnson, who we gave him like the incentive to be like the assistant head coach, kind of, even though he's the offensive passing game coordinator, I believe. And, you know, if teams are trying to interview our coaches, trying to take Anthony Lynn from us and things like that, I think that's also a good measure of how good of a season you had as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree, man. It's been an absolute pleasure, Rico, to have you on the show here on Ref the District. You can check out Rico everywhere, especially on YouTube with all his Commanders content at Street Scores on YouTube, or check him out on Twitter. I still call it Twitter. I don't even know. Oh, it's X now. I still call it Twitter as well. you can check him out there. I believe it's at Street Scores Rico. Is that right on Twitter?
Street Scores ATL.
Yes, sir. ATL. That's right. Got to get the ATL in there. At Street Scores. Yes, sir. ATL, Rico, thanks for all the time, the insight. I know a lot of people who were on here were giving great comments in there about your analysis and breakdown. So appreciate you coming on, Rico, and hope to have you on in the future.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Let me know anytime. My schedule is really random, but especially shows like this, I love pulling. I love talking ball, people that know ball. Thank you. Thank you.
And maybe maybe next year, if Jaden Daniels doesn't work out, then Washington can draft Carson Beck, and you'll get your get some Bulldogs on this team finally.
I would love that, just for the Georgia, but in every other way, that would be terrible, because that means I think he's going to end up being a number one overall pick. We would have to be really bad to do that. I'm very high on Beck, so.
Okay. Yeah, he looks to be the real deal. Again, thanks, Rico, for everybody else here. Stay tuned. We get to the cool down. We're going to do our mailbag where everybody can jump in and ask their questions. And again, thanks, Rico. Appreciate you. And we'll see you on down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let me know anytime.
All right, welcome back to Ref the District. I got to get my there we go, got the graphics right. Huge shout out to Rico at Street Scores on YouTube for coming on the show here and giving us so that you don't have to listen to me yapping the whole time and not get any sort of different analysis. Again, Trev and Nathan are off this week, so you got just the stoner, but we're going to do some mailbag here as some folks are jumping in here and still saying Rico is a man. He is awesome. He's got great content. Make sure you check him out. Again, we're trying to set a record for the most likes on a Wednesday Night Live flagship program. So make sure you hit that like. And if you're not subscribed, make sure you do subscribe to the show. So let's get to the mailbag segment of the show. That's where you all get to decide what the topic is. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Commanders, but I know everybody does really mostly want to talk about the Commanders. But if you got anything else in terms of other sports here in the DC area, then we'll do this for about 10 minutes before we get everybody out of here and on to watch. There's nothing on, maybe the Nats, maybe the end of the Nats game. There's no Copa. Is there Copa America? I don't think there's any Copa America tonight. We get you off. Maybe somebody's doing some fireworks early tonight. So we'll get you off to that. So let's, go over here and check out some of the questions. Allison has one right here. That's not a question. It's actually a statement. But Washington should be starting Jamin and Luvu at edge. Well, I think, Allison, that they are going to have a lot of Luvu and a lot of Jamin Davis on the edge. As Rico mentioned, this defense, this is going to be a positionless defense for the most part. I mean, you might even see Jonathan Allen playing at end here and there. You might see Benjamin St. Juste playing middle linebacker for a certain play, depending on what's going on the other side. Things like that. So you are going to see Luvu on the edge. You are going to see Jamin Davis coming off the edge. But these guys can also play the linebacker position very well. But Bobby Wagner is going to hold down the middle of that defense, and Luvu and Davis are going to be guys who are going to help support that, whether it's all three of them at the same time. I mean, if you've got Quan Martin, Luvu, Jamin Davis, Bobby Wagner, Sanastrill might be popping in the middle there, so you're going to have a whole lot of linebacker help on this team, which for whatever reason, the coaching regime from the previous 4 years de-emphasized the linebacker position. None of us have been able to figure it out. Ron Rivera was a linebacker. Jack Del Rio was a linebacker. And yet they tried to fill those positions with guys like Cody Barton and Thomas Davis and David Mayo, just guys who were either over the hill or they just weren't very good. And for some reason, the previous regime, just that's what they thought would be best for this team. No longer. Linebacker, I believe Mike Clay from ESPN, I believe. He's an NFL writer. Has Washington as the number one linebacker corps in the entire NFL. That's a whole lot different. Let me get a cough in right here real quick. When Rico's not here to take up some of the talking, then I got to do it all, and there's a whole lot of talking going on. Real deal, Willie Will says, who's starting the season, Mariota or Jaden? The first question might be, who do you want to start the season? Mariota or Jaden, or who will start the season? Let's not overthink this, okay? Marcus Mariota is exactly what he should be. He's a backup quarterback, and that's what he's going to be on this team. He's not coming in here to hold down the fort for a few weeks while Jaden continues to learn. It's not the way this team is going to operate. They drafted Jaden Daniels because they know he's ready day one. He went into OTAs, rookie minicamp, all of that, and the mandatory minicamp, and he showed he's the number one guy. Mariota looks good in uniform. He can throw the ball. He understands an offense. He's not – have you seen him play the last couple of years? Have you seen him play in Atlanta and at the end of his Tennessee reign? It's going to be Jaden Daniels week number one. All right, so I don't know if anybody, Brian is jumping in here to say Jaden should start the season. So far, we have nothing to suggest he shouldn't or that Mariota should. So, yeah, absolutely. All right, so Lockdown's doing his stuff over here. Talk about the new Wizard Statement Edition. Jersey is nice. Too bad they stink. Yes, they stink now. They will stink later. They will stink for the next couple of years. Lockdown didn't like the Caps 50 logo. This is the 50th season for the Washington Capitals this year. So it's going to be kind of cool to see some of the stuff that we're doing for that. If Ovi goes on a tear, he might break the record this year, the goal scoring record, but probably not until the following season. The Nats are awful. I wouldn't say they're awful. They're not great. Their bullpen is what's been letting them down. Their starting pitching has been fantastic. They can't hit, though, because they just don't have enough guys. But they did bring up the number one prospect. Well, I guess he was, depending on where you look, he was either the number one or number three prospect in all of baseball, James Wood, who came over in the Juan Soto trade. Think about the Juan Soto trade. They got five prospects, and so far three of them are already in the majors, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, and James Wood. And they've also got a couple other guys they got in that trade. Susana, who's just tearing it up in the minors as a pitcher, and Robert Hassel, who I believe is only maybe in double A right now, but he's still, they really like him. So Nats are awful. Yes. They're not awful. They're not great, but they are doing better than expected this year. I can tell you that much. All right. So JG has says, other than JD5, what player do you think has the most riding on a successful season? Well, I think there's a few guys in there that you can talk about who have a lot riding. And those are guys like Jamin Davis, who's in the last year of his contract, or some of those guys who signed one-year contracts, guys like Jeremy Chinn. Some of the younger guys maybe who signed those one-year deals, a guy like Jeremy Chinn, Cleveland Farrell on the defensive line, right? He was a top five draft pick for the Raiders, and he's got a lot to prove if he wants to stay in this league a little while longer. So those are the kind of the guys who are at the end of their contracts that they have a lot riding on a successful season. Allison asks, would Quan be good at free safety? Defo seems more strong safety to me. We might be getting caught up a little bit, as Rico said, too much on who plays what position. These guys are going to play all over. Quan's going to play free safety. Defo's going to play free safety and strong safety. They're going to be moved around a little bit. Jeremy Chinn is going to be that guy who's going to anchor the back end of that defense, probably at free safety. He's going to be the number one guy back there. Uptown's asking, are you viewing the NBA Summer League with the Wiz kids, Koulibaly, Sar, Bub, and Kaishan George? They start July 12th. That's a little over a week away. I will keep an eye on it. I'm not high on the Wizards draft picks. I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm not high on Koulibaly. I will say this about Koulibaly. Here's a guy who cannot create his own shot. He's got all kinds of athleticism, but he can't even create his own shot yet. And the number one thing that a guy has to have in the association is he's got to be able to create his own shot. Some of that other stuff comes later to develop and refine your creativity. But if you can't even create your own shot, just watch him. When he gets the ball, he's always looking to pass. He's not looking to break his guy down. So I'm a little concerned about Koulibaly. Is he a piece? Yes. But is he a star as the number 7 overall pick? I don't see it. I'm not a Sar guy either. But that's only because I wanted them to draft Reed Sheppard. I think Reed Sheppard's going to be a star. I'm just saying. What do I know? But it'll be interesting to watch them. Bub Carrington is a guy who they drafted with the 14th pick that they got for Denny Avdija in that game day trade. And then Kaishan George out of Miami, who is very unathletic but can shoot. So we'll see what they do. It'll be fun to watch and just watch these young guys. I don't have high hopes for these picks. I'm sorry, I don't. When you have 3 first-round picks in what's considered maybe the worst draft for prospects in the last 15 years, I don't know how that does you any good. I'm just saying. But we'll see what Sar ends up being here. Let's look at some more over here. Let's see. Trey's asking, can the Commanders rock the burgundy on burgundy? I think it's going to be interesting this year what sort of uniforms they're going to put out there, because they do have creative folks now, and they do have people who are paying attention to those sort of things. And guess what else? They have money. So watch for some different creativity with the uniforms this year. Maybe they bring back the stripe down the side of the pants, which everybody's been asking for. Can you wear yellow pants for the Commanders? Maybe, but I would prefer to call them gold. But I know they are more yellow. But that is a possibility. Let's see. All right. Pick one. Franchise talk. Pick one position, both on offense and defense, where we need the most help. Hint, Stephon Gilmore, Bakhtiari, and Donovan Smith are still available. I will say this about guys who are still available. They're still available for a reason. They're not going to come in and, you know, lock down that position. They're either injury issues or age or concern about their ability to be any good. But yeah, offense, we still obviously left tackle, still need help. Defensively, I'm not sold that they necessarily need help at corner. If, like what Rico said earlier, if all of these guys kind of live up to their 2022 play, right? The kid from the Chargers and BSJ, and then you bring in Sanestrill and maybe Forbes improves. But yeah, bringing in another corner never hurts, that's for sure. Will they stick with Forbes a third year if he has another bad year? I mean, if he has a bad year, then they might not. But if he has an average year and you're still like, well, that's not the guy, then they'll probably stick with him just because he's a first rounder. And so they have some money invested in him. Yeah, real deal. Willie Will. We talked about this for sure. Luke is a big deal for this team. Keep an eye on Luke. I'm very high on him. So gosh, that's another fantastic episode of Ref the District. We're going to jump out here. It is 9 o'clock here on the East Coast, on July 3rd. It's just about dark enough for fireworks. So maybe your town has fireworks at 9:30, but you may be in a different part of the country. Wherever you are, we appreciate all of you all for being in here today, tonight, to talk with myself as Trev and Nathan Roth, and of course Rico Street Scores, who jumped in here with us to talk all about the Commanders breakout stars. We had some good topics there at the beginning with the possibility of the draft being in D.C., Hard Knocks, whether you want the Commanders to be on Hard Knocks, because of course the Giants offseason Hard Knocks is out now. And then, of course, the meetup with a lot of the guys out in Oregon that Mariota put together, which was pretty cool. But again, appreciate everybody who is in here tonight. I'm gonna shout out some of you guys. I mean, Locked On Law is a fantastic. He's always here, and we appreciate you, Locked On, always putting your stuff out here. Brian, always as usual. PNW Trout Slayer is always bringing it. Uptown Dre, JG. Real deal, Willie Will. Appreciate all of the questions that you had tonight. Of course, Franchise Talk, Allison was here. Trey Huff was in the house. Make sure I want to cover everybody. Roger, of course, was with always some great takes. Appreciate you. Trust the Process, KB, was in. Appreciate you coming in. Trust the Process. I love that. Joe DeHatt was here. Grimjow. I didn't get to see you, Grimjow, earlier. Appreciate you jumping in, of course, as well. And all of you that participated in tonight's show, it was fantastic. Again, we're trying to break the record for the most likes for our flagship program here on Wednesday nights. Had a great time, as always. Just remember, you can always catch us here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We're here every Wednesday night. This is episode number 180, which means we have been doing this for 180 consecutive weeks. So you know we're always going to be here. We're always going to have extra content. We've got some cool stuff planned starting next week, leading up to training camp, which again is only 2 weeks away. Training camp is only about 2 weeks away when the rookies report. It's time to start getting excited, start getting hyped for this team, start getting hyped for Jaden Daniels. All of that, I know I am, and this team is going to be an improvement. Don't get carried away with your expectations. But appreciate, again, everybody checking us out here on Ref the District. We are, of course, brought to you by Bet Online and Don't Sleep Energy. Make sure you give us a follow on all our socials. And, of course, if you're listening on audio, make sure you leave us a rating and review so that people can spread. That gets our show spread around. So, again, appreciate everybody who being in here. Hit that like, hit that subscribe. Always back the Commanders. So, of course, until next time, be a fan.